All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the meeting of the Georgetown Council of the 26th of May. The time is actually 10 past one. Sorry for the delay on account of some technical difficulties, which we will navigate during the course of this meeting. So if I ask Louise to just slow down so we can get the note-taking up to date, it's something we'll just navigate through the course of the meeting. Before I get the meeting underway, I'd personally like to just thank Deputy Mayor and Councillor Greg Dawson, who's been our acting mayor for what is close to 7 weeks during my recent absence. So Greg, thank you very, very much for your tenure and for the outstanding work that you've done on behalf of the community. You've acquitted yourself incredibly well, to the point where I'm pretty sure I'm redundant. So great job. Okie dokie. All right, let's start with our acknowledgement of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Litra Marina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kininata, Tikinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pakana people in Litra Wita. So at this stage, I remind everybody that these meetings are recorded. You will be able to review the meeting by accessing the minutes, which will be made available at the first opportunity on our website. All meetings of council are digitally recorded as per Regulation 43 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations of 2025, except for the proceedings or meetings or parts of the meeting closed to the public in accordance with the Regulation 17.2. Right. Now, I think that's about it. Good. All right, let's first, item one, let's do our roll call. So apologies and leave of absence. We have Councillor Harris, who is on a leave of absence at this time. The rest of us appear to be present, and the rest of the staff appear to be present as well, which is good. In attendance today from the councillor side, we have, of course, Councillor Winston Mason, Councillor Heather Ashley, Councillor Winston Archer, Councillor Simone Lowe, Councillor Jason Orr, Deputy Mayor and Councillor Greg Dawson, and Councillor and Mayor Greg Keyser. From the staff side, we of course have our General Manager Shane Power, our Director of Corporate and Community Cheryl Hyde sitting at the back there, our Director of Strategy, Performance and Development Rick Dunn, our Director of Infrastructure and Operations Andrew McCarthy, and our Senior Executive Assistance and Governance Officer, Louise Dickinson. Welcome all. Item 2, so confirmation of the minutes. Item 2.1 is confirmation of the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 28th of April 2026. The recommendation is that the minutes of the meeting of the 28th of April, numbered 03626, be received and confirmed as a true record of proceedings. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason, anything to add?
The minutes seem to be all correct.
Thank you, sir. Councillor Dawson, a seconder?
Nothing further to add.
With that, I'll open to the floor. Any speakers for, against, or questions there too? There being none, we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have in favour, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, and I'm going to abstain, although I know I can vote on that, so the motion is carried. Section 3, later items, there are nil. Section 4, declarations of interest. The councillors, pertaining to the agenda before you today, does anyone want to declare a conflict of interest, both real or perceived? The record will reflect that none were recorded. That leads us to public question time, and this is where I read a little bit of a preview on how we run public question time and some of the behavioral criteria. And I'm going to do this, apologies, I'll just abbreviate it. But basically, every person can ask two questions in a row with a maximum of 2 minutes per question. If a person has more than two questions, I'll just move you to the back of the queue, give everyone a fair chance, and I'll come back to you. We try to give everyone a fair chance to have a go. Please try to minimize your preamble if you can and ask a question, and we'll make every effort to give you a direct and comprehensive answer. If we don't know the answer, we may well take it on notice, and we'll then provide you a written response, and we'll publish the response in the minutes of the next meeting. All questions must be directed to the chairperson. Fantastic. We do have a code of conduct, so just remember this is a workplace, so I have a responsibility to make sure that all my employees are treated in a certain way. I'm confident with the people before us today that we shouldn't have any problems. Right. We have a couple of questions which have been published to us. Can I invite Jill to the lectern, please? I don't know if that microphone's been turned on. Just give it a bit of a knock there.
That's okay. I can speak loudly.
So for just for the audio recording, so we can have our records, name, address, would be great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Jill Harris. I live at 113 Bellevue Beach Road in Bellevue Beach.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. And good afternoon to everyone. I think my question probably is directed towards Mr. Power. In relation to the proposed Bellevue wind farm, could you please advise whether the Georgetown Council maintains a formal register, petition process, submission process, deputation process, or other official procedure through which residents can lodge concerns or objections regarding the proposed wind farm development affecting local communities within our municipality? I do understand that the project is falling under the jurisdiction of state government. However, I would appreciate advice on any formal council recognised processes available for recording community concern or opposition.
A very fair question, so thank you very much. In short, yes, we do, and I'm going to hand over to our general manager to give you a little bit of a snippet of the details. I will give you some well and hard learned advice, because doing a petition is not trivial.
No.
And I think you're approaching this the right way. Study the requirements before you get involved. We'll guide you through the process, and it'll be painless as opposed to very painful and disappointing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your question. As the Mayor has, and you have rightly pointed out, there is a petition process that you can undertake. That's outlined in Section 57 of the Local Government Act.
Thank you.
And our staff are here, of course, to help you guide you through that process, of course. So, as you've also pointed out, it is a planning decision that will be carried out by the state government. So Council's influence is limited in this space. However, should you complete a petition that complies with the requirements under the Act, it will be brought before Council for consideration of any action that you might be calling for. The other way, of course, is to lobby your elected members around the table to seek a view or a position on a particular development that's been handled by the state. And thirdly, you can directly be engaged with the state government on the planning process once it's been advertised.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much for that answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. I'll invite anybody else from the floor who has a question they'd like to address to the council. One more time, anybody else? There being none more, I will move on to section four, which is responses from questions from previous question time. And again, it's my custom not to read through these things, but I will note the response provided to Mrs. D. Rainbow. At the previous meeting, there were, I think, two or three successive questions that are published in the agenda.
Excuse me, Matt.
Yes.
Did you recognise the time that public question time started?
I did not, but the time is now 1:20 and the meeting started at 1:10. actually one. Yeah, there we go. All right, so public question time is now passed. So thank you very much for everyone. All right, section six, I note the Acting General Manager's declaration. Thank you, Mr. Power. And that takes us to section seven, where the council acts as a planning authority. Councils are a planning authority. Each council acts as a planning authority for their municipality. In this role, councillors consider development applications and make administrative decisions that are based on the council's planning scheme. While councillors are obliged to consider the community's views, this does not mean that they can vote in favour of those views while fulfilling the role of a planning authority. Councillors must make planning decisions based on whether a planning application is consistent with the local planning scheme, even if members of the community object to the planning proposal. Welcome, Justin Simons, our senior planner. And that leads us perfectly into item 7.1, which is Development Application 2026-17, which is a residential subdivision of one into two lots at 119 Lowhead Road. The report is rather self-explanatory and comprehensive. I don't think that there's anything particularly challenging, and this has been reviewed by the council in anticipation of this item. The recommendation is way back here. Thank you. The recommendation commences on page 36, item 16, and that is that the development application be approved subject to following conditions. The conditions are published from page 36 through to page 41, including the endorsed plans, the construction of works, various driveway crossover restrictions, documentation, open space contributions, environmental management, covenants, easements, etc., etc., etc. Councillors, can I call for a mover and a seconder? Councillor Mason is my mover, and I'm seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason, take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. This is planning authority to move one lot into two lots. It's a great presentation by our planner, Mr. Simons. It's very detailed, and it ticks all the boxes for me. And you've heard the Mayor introduce the motion. I think it's nearly all covered there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Orr, a seconder.
Yeah, just a note, there was one representation to the council, and most of that is probably non-planning related. So I'm happy to second the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. With that, I'll open to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions there too. Take it away, team. It's looking like this could be a very quick one. All right. I'll ask one more time. Any questions or representations? There being none, I will just put it straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. Must be writing some pretty good reports there, Justin. Well done. All right, that was straightforward. Okay, that leads us to the Office of the General Manager in Section 8, 8.1, being for council workshops conducted in April and May. The report details the attendance, the topics that your representatives discussed and were informed on by various different people, entities, and consultants. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Mover is Councillor Ashley, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Ashley, as mover, take it away.
I support the motion. I don't see any problem with anything.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. Councillor Dawson.
Other than to read out what's actually in the report there that we discussed, the ordinary council meeting minutes, the quarterly report, rates, had a presentation from the Office of the Value General, which was quite good. Bass and Flinders Maritime Museum collection policy was discussed, the Georgetown prospectus, so it's a document that will be worked on over time. Georgetown Crown license agreement for memorial seat, a bit of a pool update. We did discuss discuss some of the governance that we need to and have a bit of council and general manager discussions. And after that, we were lucky enough to go and have a tour of the new aquatic centre. The facilities coming along quite nicely.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. With that, I'll open to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions to? There being none, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. Okay. Item 8.2, the quarterly report. This is for quarter three that details the career from 1 January to 31 March. And you may be sitting in the gallery going, hang on a second, if it's 31 March, why are you publishing it now? That's how long it takes for us to collate the information, put in all of our systems. The information is presented in a remarkably digestible format, but pretty much covers every single metric you can possibly imagine. It is comprehensive, to say the least. For your reading pleasure. So the recommendation, of course, is that we receive the quarterly performance report, and then we provide public the access to this report as part of our ongoing commitment to good governance. To that end, can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Mason and Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason, take it away.
Thank you. The quarterly report is for the third quarter. It is a summation of operational and financial dealings with Georgetown Council. It's a government required that we do a quarterly report. It forms part of the annual report. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Orr, a seconder?
Yeah, so it's a very complex report that put together by council officers. I would actually highly recommend people to actually read the report. It's actually quite informative. It's got full details on our arts, a lot of information regarding our youth as well, Youth Impact Council. So I'm happy to second the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Orr. With that, I'll open to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions to? Yes, Councillor Lowe.
Thanks. So just reiterating on a previous comment that Councillor Orr made about these reports that we've put out and how it's another level or layer of transparency, and I think it's a really good habit, and I like the fact that the council can put it out in the public forum to show how we're tracking on things, so things aren't, if something's not tracking so well, then that's still out in the public eye, and sometimes that's okay, there's often reasons, but it just gives the community that awareness that we are saying this is what we're doing, this is the timelines that we're adhering to, and sometimes when the wheels may fall off, that that's open and in the public. So that's just with regards to timelines for major projects, etc. So I just commend it to the council that we keep doing this and that,
Well said. Thank you, Councillor. Yes, I think we've been widely acknowledged for our efforts in this area. Any speakers? Otherwise, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Thank you very much. Motion is carried unanimously. Section 9, Infrastructure and Development, we are having a pass on that this month. There is nil. However, Section 10, I'm sure to great interest in the community, item 10.1 is a review of our rating policy. I understand that we have done, and I welcome to Cheryl Hyde to the lectern. We spent some time engaging the community in making every effort to try to explain what has necessitated this change, what the impact of this change will be to most people, and our efforts in terms of assessing our rating policy will continue. This is not the ultimate conclusion of it. I would describe this as a step along the journey to future changes that may well eventuate, pending your elected members' agreement on the right path of action. But it is a little bit of a movable feast with legislation changes, etc., etc. I urge everybody who's either listening or in attendance to review page 53, where there is a summarized review of, I'm going to call them frequently asked questions with appropriate responses that explain the impact. And the recommendation, of course, is that as a group, we endorse the amended changes to our rates and charges policy, GTC C23. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Archer, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor. A lot of the public wouldn't understand what's sort of gone on behind the scenes regarding this policy. Council really has to do to maintain our current position and do it safely. However, that said, it's status quo for most people in the community. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Councillor Dawson.
I suppose the rates and charges policy is one that has to be reviewed frequently by council. It's been done on this occasion. There's some subtle tweaks to it. Some of the feedback summary that people from our community have asked, I think there's a bit of a thought out there that council is changing their rating methodology for a big cash grab, and what this effectively does is takes us to a point where we get a similar amount of funds in to be able to provide the services that council does to the community, and it's not what people thought. So I think, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. With that, I'll open floor. Speakers for or against, or questions to?
Maybe through the chair to council officer. So we received 7 representations, and we've sent representations and letters back to them. Did you get any follow-up correspondence
through the chair to Cheryl Hart, director of corporate and community? I think is what I should be saying.
Thank you, Chair. Through you. So the only correspondence that I've received back has just been thanks from a couple of the respondents relating to the explanation that I had given. At the back of the attachments, you will note that I've included all of the questions that we were asked and the comments, and in those, many of them were just seeking clarification of exactly what the change would be in the policy and whether or not the average area rate would be maintained in this particular instance.
Yeah, and if I can just embellish on that and say that the total rates that we are collecting are not influenced by this. Some of the mechanics in the back end of how the calculations are made are, however, influenced, and a lot of it is driven by their regulatory requirements. So it's pretty straightforward, really. Anyone else? I'll put it back to our mover, Councillor Archer, to close.
Thanks, Mayor. So it's basically it to tweak our rates resolution. We've had to tweak the policy. That's all it is. There's no anybody that's on the average area rate won't notice a difference. Some minor differences to some other ratepayers may happen under this policy, but all in all, it's not a big thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. And with that, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And the motion is carried unanimously. Which now means you have a lot of work to do. Right, section 10.2, our much-loved Bass and Flinders Maritime Museum. This is a bit of a tidy-up in terms of refreshing our museum collections policy. Again, the policy is attached. It is GTC 10.2.1. I don't really have a lot to say in the preamble to this, except that this is a much-loved asset. I'm incredibly impressed by how the museum is progressing. I think the collection is really at a high point, and the passionate volunteers at that facility really need to be recognised for the incredible work that they do. Recently did a trip there, and it was outstanding, to say the least. Bravo. The recommendation is to endorse the amended Bass and Flinders Collection Policy, GTC C25, as presented. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Mason and is seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Mason.
The Bass and Flinders Museum Collections Policy has been developed to align with both Council's 10-year strategic plan and annual plan actions. With the comments already made by the Mayor, I have no hesitation in moving the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Lowe is seconder.
Thank you. Okay, so this one's been before us at workshop previously, and it gave us a chance to actually look at the makeup of how the policy was developed, and it's gone away. It was rather a lengthy document, and now it aligns more so with our current policies and having the policy and then supported by plans. And this one here allows us to have taken on the advice from the curator and made sure that all the information that was required for fundamentally running a museum and making sure that those that want to put in our museum know what our processes are and what our responsibilities are and theirs. So yeah, I think we're very lucky to get the expert advice in on this one. I'm so happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. I'll open the floor to speakers for, against, or questions two. I think this might be another rather brief one. I think we'll put it straight to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. Bravo. All right, that leads us to section 11. Our strategy, performance and development, and item 11.1, our draft community engagement policy. In 2025, we actually ran our annual community satisfaction survey, welcome Rick Dunn, and there was a bit of a consistent theme in the feedback. People really wanted us to have a better look at how we engage and communicate with the community. There was an overall theme that a little bit more clarity, a little bit better communication would be appreciated. And as such, we put a proposal to the community for feedback, and we received three submissions to that proposal, which are addressed and covered in the attachments. This is a broad framework, not designed to address any specific past community concerns or any specific issue. It's more the framework and how we will interact with the members of our community when there's something notable that we want their feedback on before we make a decision. And it streamlines that process, protects confidentiality, and all in all, it looks like a good progress on that theme. It was advertised on Facebook, sent to various community groups, progress associations, Tamar FM. There was an article in the council newspaper, and we actually made hard copies available at our counter as well. The recommendation is to adopt the draft policy as presented, and that the council's communication officer will inform the broader community about how the new policy works. To that end, can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Lowe, take away.
Thanks. So, yeah, great body of work, very informative. The framework, the IAP2 that underpins this, is a world-renowned, it's a very logical, that's not even what I'm looking for, but essentially I just want to lay the foundation that the policy itself is top-notch. I just think that the as we sit around the council, we've got to appreciate that it's the rollout of it. It's where the challenges may come. And I think that we have to be making sure that every time that we are needing to talk to community, that we do bring this policy forward and understand if we're going to consult, to inform or collaborate involved. And it's really the rollout of the policy that I feel is the key component to how this has come about. It was on the back of the stakeholder community satisfaction survey, and it really come from the concerns about the pool. So we have to be realistic of how it came about. In my opinion, that's how it came about. So we've just got to make sure that we use the document as intended. But yeah, it's a great document. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll open that to, I'll second to Councillor Ashley.
I don't think that Councillor Lowe's probably covered everything.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. I'll open the floor, speakers for, against, or questions. Councillor Dawson.
Probably a question just around how and when this will be live on our website for people to engage with it and view it. So there's a topical issue in our community at the moment around wind turbines. Whether there's opportunity for people to actually reference this policy to progress their views.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Through the chair to our Director of Strategy, Performance and Development, Rick Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Dawson. Should this policy be approved today, it will go live on our website as soon as possible in the next 24 to 48 hours. As the Mayor mentioned in the recommendation, one of our roles is to communicate to the community that this policy is now in place, and over time we will provide information to the community where appropriate, rather than just hit them with the entire policy, different split up components of the policy to inform people about the different aspects of the policy, particularly around the role of public role of listening, contributing, participating, partnering, and leading, and what that really means in a practical sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Anyone else? Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, quite well spoken by Councillor Lowe in her introduction there. I think it's right. The policy is only as good as us making sure that we follow it. And I suppose you can say not only just us, but the public can also give us a push along if they think it's not being followed. But primarily that should come down to councillors to make sure that we are doing the right thing by the policy and doing what we say we will. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anyone else? Councillor Lowe to close.
Nothing further, thank you.
With that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And the motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Rick. Well done. Item 11.2, the Draft Weymouth Recreation Ground Concept Plan. Some years back, we started a process where we developed what we call the Township Character Plans for all of our coastal communities. As part of that process, the Weymouth Progress Association had a vision for what they wanted to do with their recreation ground and open space. And to that effect, we recruited a open space consultant and designer to help prepare a concept plan with, obviously, their strong endorsed input and to get an expert perspective on what is realistic, cost-effective, and importantly, actually achievable. That plan, in short, is before us. It has been presented to the Georgetown Council on two separate occasions, pre and post the community consultation. The community has commented on it. And in general, the feedback was that people were positive and supportive of the plan. Of course, the concept plan is very important to have in place. It's good from a coordination point of view, but the development of the actual plan at this stage is dependent on your elected representatives in terms of prioritisation, on external grants and raising appropriate money to make that that vision a reality moving forward. So the recommendation is that the Council adopts the Weymouth Recreation Ground Concept Plan. In light of that, can I call for a mover? The mover is Councillor Orr, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Orr is a mover.
Yes, so I support to adopt the Weymouth Recreation Ground Concept Plan. Bit of a history on the coast areas. I think all the town coastal villages used to have camping areas, one form or another, and over the period of time they all sort of fell off. Weymouth was probably the only one who had an established camping area, and about 25 years ago, I believe, it was closed up for a number of purposes, reasons, probably didn't comply with a lot of rules and regulations. So it's been shortly missed by the community, been locked up. Those camping areas did bring people into the area, and those people did end up buying properties and now are full-time residents, so people do have a lot of fond memories. Before my time on council, there was a presentation to the council regarding a third party doing some work down there, and that did cause a bit of discussion in the local community. So local group Wayne's Progress Association did engage their members in the broader community and did come up with a draft plan, which is not very well shown on the hard copy, but on the lines, gives you a bit more details what they thought the community might need there as well. So since then, like the mayor did say, we have developed the township character plans, and from that we have done a little bit of work down that way already. We have put some pathways in. We've got the toilet up to a reasonable standard, which is good. But it's still not be widely used in the area as well. One item that keeps coming up all the time is all-purpose access to the Weymouth Beach. So we're over at Temuchina Bay. We do have access to the beach with an old boat ramp. The Weymouth, they don't have that, and there's one of those high priority groups getting proper access to the beach there as well. So I think overall the plan has got the community support down there, and now we've got that in place, we can start looking for some grants and hopefully move the project forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason, a seconder.
If the plan comes to fruition, it will be a big asset for the Weymouth area, as long as all other coastal areas follow their lead.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. With that, I'll open to the floor, speakers for or against, or questions there too. Councillor Dawson.
Thank you. I think the Weymouth Recreation Ground concept plan is a good one. I'd hate for the community to get their hopes up to a point where they thought that the project and all of its things that come with it would be action in the near future. I think it's one of those documents that we've had the opportunity to consult with the community about what they would like to see happen in the area, and it's bit by bit, piece by piece, grant by grant, as we get to the end of it, to try to realise that dream, I think is something that council and community can work together on, and I like the document, and I hope that it does get action in the future.
Well said. Any other speakers? I'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Orr, to close.
Yeah, so being at previous Weymouth meetings, I think they are quite aware this is a long-term vision, and I think they've been pretty good with running events and running fundraisers and having like a big sand castle competition they do down there every year and other events, so I think they will embrace this as a long-term aspect as well. And also remember, these beaches are probably the closest beaches to our major city in Launceston, so they do get utilised not just by our municipality, but other people in our local city and further afield as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. And to that end, I will now put this to a vote. All those in favour of adopting the Weymouth Recreational Ground Concept Plan, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. Well done, Tamara. Right. Item 11.3, which is a Crown licence agreement for either memorial seat request for some considerable sadness that our community recently said goodbye to late Councillor and Mayor Doug Burt, and we have subsequently received a request from Doug's partner and wife, Jackie, for the installation of a memorial bench seat. The memorial bench seat is located on Crown land, and therefore Council would need to be prepared to enter into licence agreement with the Crown. It's a place of gravity for the family and for the community, being close to where Doug and his family live. What else can I say? We've consulted with the Crown. to get preliminary advice, and they have advised that they would consider a licence, and they don't foresee any issues should council go down this path. So the recommendation is to support that A, a council officer make application to the Crown to enter into a licence, B, authorise the Mayor and General Manager to execute a licence on behalf of council, C, undertake the appropriate community consultation on installation of such seat, D, arrange for the purchase of a seat and installation, and E, seek reimbursement from the applicant as per our community guidelines. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? The mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason.
I'm more than happy to move this motion, Mayor. I had the pleasure of working with Doug for about 25 years at Mount Valley Union. He's a very good family man. He's a good team member in our workshop. He always fostered and helped young apprentices along the way. He was a great networker throughout his career, as well as a good councillor and a good mayor. And I'm more than happy to move this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Dawson.
I agree wholeheartedly with what Councillor Mason just said, and I'd seek his support to remove Part B of the recommendation.
Granted.
As an amendment. I think people that contribute to our community in the way, in the manner that Doug Burt did, probably deserve a simple seat out of recognition, and I hope we can do that as a part of this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. So we do have an amended motion. It's been supported by the mover, so that motion is now current. The motion is now parts A, B, C, and D, and we've removed part E, which is to seek reimbursement from the applicant as per the guidelines. I'll open the floor to speakers for or against, or ask questions to, and the first hand is Councillor Ashley.
I'm just speaking for it. I think that Doug was a great advocate for our community, and I worked with Doug in Rotary for a lot of years, worked at Kamalka with Doug for a lot of years. Doug was a very, very, very strong community-minded person. He worked hard for his community, and Jackie has spoken to me about it. She's passionate about having a seat put down there for Jackie, for her to be able to go down and sit and just think about things that have gone on in the past, and I 100% hope that we can do that for her.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. Councillor Noel.
Yeah, thank you. So a couple of comments that this wouldn't necessarily have come to the table for councillors to make a decision if it was simply installing a seat in honour of Doug Burt. We have a policy and the GM can usually make those decisions. So this has come to us because of the licensing agreement. So I find it a little bit tricky to tie Doug into this and to be making decisions around reimbursements. I hate doing things without some form of framework. So it's not that I'm not going to support that, it's just we do have a policy around how these things roll out, and I think that we may need to review our policy moving forward. But I did actually have a question around what, when we look at undertake the appropriate community consultation, what does that look like, and what's that in regard to
through,
item C?
Through the chair to tomorrow about.
Thank you, Mayor. So as per all our other memorial remembering name requests, like Peter Cox Walkway and Winston Middle Park, we undertake a 28-day period where we advertise the proposal for community feedback.
Right, so I must be a little bit confused, because at the last workshop I did ask why this came to us, and if I thought that the general manager just had that discretion. So even if he does have that discretion, this process still runs, does it?
Yes, so
it,
yeah.
Yes, correct. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I've got a question. So the on the recommendation under E that we're disregarding seeking seek reimbursement for the applicant as per the guidelines. What are the guidelines that, you know, what's the document, basically all documents relating to that?
I think I understand. So, Tamara, are you happy to take that question? Do you know what the...
It's not the application.
Just the application. Do you want to take the question or do you want to... Can you take that one, John?
Yeah.
I remember it well, actually. But I don't have the document. It's a fantastic question. I think you've got our team on the spot there, Councillor Archer. How do we address that? How can we get that documentation through? Have you found? Give us a while. Give us a second. We'll see if we can find it in our records, and I'll hand over to the general manager to provide you with a response.
Point of order. Yes. It's not relevant to the motion. This is not part of the motion.
It's one of those weird decisions where I have to make a decision based on whether I think the point of order is appropriate. I see where you're going with that. I don't think that, you know, I don't think you're being unreasonable, but I equally think that if you have a motion that is referencing as part of the motion a guideline application, I think it's a reasonable request for a councillor to want to know where those guidelines are. So I'm not going to allow your point of order, sir. I believe it is. Oh, well, I see you've removed it, but only because you've removed it can you make that statement. But I believe it is still relevant. On grounds of relevance, I'm going to not allow it. Are you ready? Through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Verbatim from the guidelines, applicants for the placement of a private memorial benches or other park furniture shall be considered only where, and I've just talked to the relevant clauses, a memorial bench or other approved private memorials on park furniture is in accordance with council specifications. All costs associated with the purchase and installation shall be completely borne by the applicant. The cost of the memorial includes the purchase of the bench or other park furniture, plaque and other associated construction and installation costs.
Thank you. Councillor Archer, I think you've got another one in you.
Oh, no more questions. I'll just use me a bit of debate. Look, I can see the reasoning somewhat from dropping that part E from the recommendation E from the motion. However, I think some previous people that have, you know, borne the costs as they are previously under this same guideline, policy guideline, could feel somewhat offended that in this instance, you know, council's is proposing to just ignore the policy guidelines and, you know, and not apply that policy in this instance. It is, I suppose, technically not policy on the run, but lack of policy on the run. I like to think that council does follow policy and will say and do what they think, or to say and do what they say they'll do. And in this current form, I'd struggle to support the motion in this. Just because of that reason.
Thank you. I'll speak briefly to the motion, if I may. Do you want to speak first? Let me speak to the motion and we'll take the question. I counted Doug as a friend, and despite the fact that I held the man in incredible regard and could not have thought more highly of him, I have a similar view to Councillor Archer. I think that we have a well-established precedent, and the policy was changed in this regard on the basis of precedent to avoid existing conflicts and conflicts that we had all actually had first-hand experience and get very, very complicated. It's very, very difficult for us to make a judgment call of, you know, who is to be memorialized and who is not to be memorialized. And I think as a community, I personally think that it's better if we absolve ourselves from that process and put it to the family. And if the family would like a memorial, I think that that's a wonderful gesture. I think that we can mostly, on almost all occasions, we can accommodate that. I would absolutely support this order, except for the removal of E. I find E to put us on a path which will create conflict with our community under precedent. So I won't be supporting the motion in this form. All right, I'll hand over. Who they had another question? Is it Councillor Orr?
Thank you. So Crown Land, can you let me know what the Crown Land zoning one is? Is it Crown Land Reserve only like Crown Land? Is it Coastal Reserve? Can you tell me what's the zoning on that one is? What the
through the chair.
I don't have a list map in front of me at all. So.
Yeah, sorry, I don't also have that information with me right now.
So I do apologize, I wasn't at the workshop.
It was. Well, we can just quickly look on the map. The 26th is Crown. I just want to quickly get a response on that, and then I'll come to you next. Thank you, Councillor Ash.
So, do we have any leases or licences in that section of land? And who currently maintains?
The answer is apparently we do not. Yep. Apparently.
Don't have?
Thank you.
So, through the mayor, no, council does not have any licences or leases in that area.
So who currently mows that area?
It's managed by Crown as a landowner.
My concern is with Crown and Henry being member resources that you put a seat there, which is great, and then the vegetation grows over it, and then we can't see the seat and gets lost. So, how are we actually going to maintain that area? Like, is it a license just for around the seat or halfway to the seat? Or throughout the whole municipality, we do have these seats put around the place, and normally they're on the area that we're looking after, and this is in the area that we don't actually manage ourselves.
So the application to Crown can be made for the land area that you wish to maintain.
Yep.
So you can either just do the seat, or we can make it a little bit larger to maintain the vegetation around the seat.
Yes, Councillor Ashley, and I'll...
The area in front of the the two homes that are in the front of it. I think you'll find one of the residents maintains the front of that area, so to keep it mowed and nice.
Thank you, Councillor. A little bit unconventionally, but I would like to move a foreshadowed motion, please, in that I will move the original motion as proposed. So since I have moved, now this is, gets really tricky in terms of governance. If I'm moving from the chair, I think I can't even call for whether there'll be a seconder. I think I have to call the deputy mayor to then sit in the chair. You're a seconder of the originals. Wow, this is complicated. We'll take your advice on this one, Louise, because this could get really complicated. At this stage, so let's leave it at that then for now. We'll deal with the original motion, but you have a foreshadowed motion then waiting should this motion not succeed. Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else? I'm going to hand it back to our mover to close. Our mover is Councillor Mason.
Some great commentary around this this motion. Every councillor's had some input, which is good. So I'll leave it, put the motion for these men.
We are moving an amended motion, which is to support the following. A, council officer to make application to the Crown to enter into license in the area where the seat will be installed. B, authorise the mayor and general manager to execute the license on behalf of council. C, undertake the appropriate community consultation. And D, arrange for the purchase of seat and installation. It has omitted item E. In that end, I will put this motion to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Dawson. All those opposed to the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe. Wow, so we've got a... You're missing it. And you're abstaining. So an abstained vote in this situation counts as a vote against, so the motion is lost. 4-3-2-4, which means that the foreshadowed motion, now I'm going to call on Councillor Dawson to chair the meeting. The notes are down there, just edit the notes.
Thank you. Do we have a second for the motion? Councillor Mason. Okay. So the motion on the books that we're discussing at the moment is to support the following. A, council officer to make application of the Crown to enter into a licence for the area where the seat will be installed. B, authorises the mayor and general manager to execute the licence on behalf of council. C, undertake the appropriate community consultation. D, arrange for the purchase of the seat and installation. And E, seek reimbursement from the applicant as per the guidelines. Mayor Keyser, go for gold. As the mover.
As the mover, I believe the motion's self-explanatory. I think we've already debated it. I've got no more to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mason.
Well, I've seconded this motion for the simple reason that, like I said before, I've worked with Doug for many years. It would be good for his family to have a memorial seat close by their home, because I know the fact that they walk around that area quite often. And that's my main drive to get a seat there in memory of Doug.
Thank you very much.
Councillors to support it. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just wanting to state that this was not about Doug per se. These debates, this was around policy and guidelines and good and best practice. And unfortunately, I actually hate that it's gone to a vote on something for such a community member that's so well respected, and terrible to have to do it this way. But that being said, that we do want to have policy that reflects how we want to work and unfortunately to have not to adhere to our own guidelines. It was around our guidelines, not around Dunbert. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Orr?
Similar to Councillor Lyle, it's not so much regarding who the seats for, it's actually the due process and where we put in the seat. I do have concerns that that the area is not maintained by anyone who's got the proper authority. Throughout municipality, people do put seats and furniture on Crown land without approval, and so it's good that somebody's actually asking for approval for that, but then also these people down there doing work that they may not have authority from the landowner as well. So my concern is if the Crown turn around tomorrow and see, because it does sometimes have a can of worms, that person no longer can mow that area, they haven't got the right proper approval. So I'm just going to abstain for this one because I think there's a lot more investigation on this one to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments, questions? Councillor Archer.
Yes, thanks, Deputy. That's, my the previous motion, my objection was purely on process and policy and whether we follow it or not. However, Councillor Orr raising these potential issues around maintenance and responsibility for the land does raise the question whether or not this couldn't have been done, I suppose, within council's own land area, not far away. There's just an area that it could have been put in the road reserve, and the seat still faces the same direction and so on. So. That said, I don't want to be a killjoy.
Okay. Are there any other speakers, or shall I return it to the mover? Councillor Keyser.
Let's put it to a vote. I think we've all agreed that. Yes.
No.
Unfortunately, not. I'm sorry. Terribly sorry. So yeah. So I think let's just put that to a vote. I think universally, Doug was widely regarded as the epitome of a community man, and I would like to see this request granted to his family.
Thank you. We'll put that one to the vote then. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. Okay, so we have Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Lowe, Councillor and Councillor Dawson in favour, against. Abstain, both Archer and Orr abstain. Motion carried.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. All right. Thank you. Section 12, Office of the Mayor. Item 12.1 details the matters of involvement from our Mayor, our Deputy Mayor was the Mayor. Once again, thank you. And, of course, councillors who wish to report on their activities. Just note one alteration. Councillor Dawson has noted one correction on May the 21st. He was unable to attend the Emergency Management Committee meeting on the 21st. So I'll remove that from the records. Can I call for a mover and a seconder? Our mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Ashley. And you may ask a question if you want to. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll move the Office of Recommendation and ask Councillor Deputy Mayor Greg Dawson on May the 6th. He attended a breakfast roundtable with Senator Honourable James McGrath. Could you fill us in on some of the detail of that, please, sir?
Myself and Andrew McCarthy both attended a meeting. It was pretty much in Senator Askew's office in Launceston for breakfast. It was just a round table, general chat, and they want to see how the federal government policies were impacting our community. Those are a little bit around the failure of the previous Federal Liberal Party to win office at the last federal election and how they might impact in the future. So it was interesting. We put our best foot forward and spoke about the positive things that have been happening in our community over the last couple of years, and they've sort of got a good heads up on our youth programs and those types of things that are happening in our community. And we spoke a lot to that. There were the mayors and CEOs, general managers from West Tamar, Launceston, Northern Midlands, all there as a part of it. It was quite a nice breakfast.
To our seconder, Councillor Ashley.
Thank you. I would just like to say that I was wondering, so I didn't get a chance to go to the Hillwood Anzac service, and I was just wondering if Councillor Royal would like to tell us how to turn up at Raymond and Hillwood was, please.
Thank you. So, yeah, I was present to lay a wreath on behalf of the council at Raymond, and Councillor Mason did the one at Hillwood, and I just had the opportunity to go to Hillwood. In the morning, I was quite taken back by the size of the locals that turned up to that event at the fire station. And then others went down to the local community hall, Memorial Hall, where they put on a lovely breakfast for us. All the footballers had turned up that day as well, so it was that hall was full of people. Was our opportunity after to go look at the lone pine tree they just planted in the area there as well. So I do recommend people go have that as well. So going back to one of one, that's something that Warren's Progress Association put on every year, their services as well. I think both those communities do a great job at those services.
Thank you, Councillor. Open to the floor. Any other questions?
I've got a question, but I'll probably just make a reflection on the Georgetown Volunteer of the Year Awards that were held on the 20th of May. This week, the theme was Your Year to Volunteer. It honours the contribution of volunteers and invites people across Australia to make 2026 a year of meaningful involvement in ways to work for them and their communities. We were lucky enough this year to have Rising Star Volunteer Service Award up to 5 years of Bell Hawkins won that one. Major Volunteer Service Award for 5 to 10 years with Alan Wiles from Outstanding Volunteer Service Award over 10 years for Tanya Flanagan, and she's raised over $100,000 over the last few years for cancer research. And Lifetime Volunteer Service Award over 20 years for Jean Hampton, that helps out at our Pilot Station Museum. So, yeah, it's really nice to see all those people on it. There's a lot of other people from other organisations that have attended that have been nominated, and I encourage everybody to volunteer in their community because we need your help.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dawson. Anyone else? Any other speakers? Councillor Mason to close.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just repeat some comments from Councillor Orr. The breakfast at Hillwood was 5-star, so it's worth turning up just for that. It was a great service, great atmosphere, two great speakers. They both spoke on winning in war, so that was good. Never heard of some of the exploits before, and that was excellent. And just to repeat, Councillor Dawson, the Volunteers Night was very successful and very well attended.
Thank you. Thank you. Both treasured tradition, and I'm really glad to see our community putting in such an effort and the attendance is being so strong. To that end, we'll now put this to a vote. All those in favour of accepting those activities, please raise your hand or say aye. Thank you. The motion is unanimous. Section 13, petitions, there are nil. Section 14, notices of motions, with or without notice, etc. Section 15, councillors' questions with or without notice. There are none. Which means, ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, it is the moment where I note the closing of our open portion of our meeting. We're at the time I'm going to record as 2:18 p.m. And I am going to ask, I'm going to first put this to a vote. I'm going to call for a mover and a seconder, Councillor Dawson, Councillor Mason. We'll put that to a vote as we speak now. All those to accept, raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. And I will bid the gallery farewell, but I will see Lauren shortly. Thank you very much.